Hello, and welcome to Enlightened Medicine. This is Dr. Valerie Olmsted, and you're on the Enlightened Medicine Show. And I have playing in the background a beautiful CD called Awakened Heart by Saggio and Barbara Ruth. And before I get too far, let me give you the URL if you're interested in getting this. They have a beautiful website. It's SaggioHealingArts.com. That's S-A-G-G-I-O, HealingArts, all one word, .com. And they have a series of native flute and crystal bowl CDs. This one particularly is good for energy balancing, healing, meditation, massage, and wellness programs. And this is what I listen to every day. It's quite soothing. My cats love it. And hopefully you'll enjoy that as our background music. Now, let's get to it. Today, I'm going to talk about instructions for the suit. And if you listen to the inaugural show, I told you what I was going to tell you and how the show was going to be set up. So today, this is part one, instructions for the suit. And the suit is this vehicle that we travel around in, otherwise known as the body. When I speak of the body, it includes mind and spirit. They cannot be separated if health is what you're looking for. And I presume that's what we're all looking for. I've long thought of the body like the suit on that TV show, The Greatest American Hero. If you don't remember that show, the premise was that aliens dropped off a suit that gave superhuman powers to the wearer, but the instructions blew away. So the show was about learning the powers of the suit while doing good and saving the world from the bad guys. And wouldn't we all like to have that suit? And actually, we do have that suit. It's just not red and doesn't have, you know, strange markings on it. So please open your minds. If you want to understand how the suit works, you're going to hear the truth, whether you believe in any of this or not. So if you keep open-minded about it, you just may discover something that will help you in your journey to health. Now, I'm going to do a lot of tongue-in-cheek things about the suit here, so you must not quote me verbatim and decide that that's the way everything is. No, this is tongue-in-cheek, just to kind of get the point across to you as to the basic functions of the suit. So, imagine that the instructions were lost and blown apart to different countries. And this is evidenced by the differing instructions that are given by our religious traditions as well as traditional medicine practices. Now, when we bring these methods together, we discover they work for pretty much everyone, but not every single person. So I'd like to talk about that a bit. Why do you think that all these instructions put together from all over the planet would work for most people, but not everyone? Part of the thing is cultural expectations. If you expect a certain thing, that's all you're going to see is that certain thing. Other things are fears. Maybe you have a fear of needles, of mind control, whatever. Also, disbelief can block intended changes in the quantum field. And if you've seen the What the Bleep movie, the chiropractor there talks about how when he says his prayers for the day and sets his day up, he says, "I am infecting the quantum field. And I am causing this to happen in my life." So whether you're doing that consciously or unconsciously, your disbelief can block your changes. It could be allergies. Maybe there's a different bloodline, like maybe they're from a different planet. You know, we've all known people that were a little different. And you know, it's a possibility, especially nowadays. We're starting to discover there are other worlds. It could be a different state of the health or immune system or enzyme system. Could be little differences in there due to genetics, due to environment. Could be the improper order of applied therapeutics. In other words, if you do homeopathy with someone who has no vital force, then it's not going to work nearly as well as if you do homeopathy after you've done acupuncture and oriental medicine, because oriental medicine will restore some vital force, which then the homeopathy can act on to change things at a deep level. So the therapeutics have to be applied correctly in the right order. Or you could have lack of practitioner skill or lack of practitioner clarity. If your therapist or practitioner, whether they're a physician or a massage therapist or a physical therapist or color therapist, whatever, if they don't have clarity about what they're trying to do to help you, and if you don't have clarity about what you need, that can affect things drastically. Again, it comes down to the intent. Also, it could be it's not their time to be healed. Maybe they haven't learned the lesson yet. And as I mentioned in the last show, sometimes we have lessons set up, no matter how bad they may seem at the time. The lessons are set up to teach us something that we need that's vital to who we are to become. So if you're taking away someone's lesson by helping them all the time and not allowing them to learn, that can be a difficult thing. It may take eons to set up the perfect circumstances again to apply that lesson. Then we have astrological timing. And there are several different types of astrology. There's Chinese, North Star, there's Vedic, which is known more for its accuracy and timing, and then there's the Western astrology. If you have a really good astrological practitioner, they can normally pinpoint things fairly well and tell you what's been happening just by looking in your chart. Now, I'm not talking about the general charts that you read in the newspaper. That's too general. But, you know, where the stars and planets are has a lot to do with what's going on. I don't know exactly why, so, you know, I can't speak to that, but I can tell you that I've noticed in my own life, and when I've had charts done for other people that have mysterious illnesses, I can usually get to the bottom of things by including that. So maybe it sounds a little far out there, and if you don't believe in that, that's fine. You believe in whatever you want to believe in. I'm just here to tell you the truth. Also, here's another thing. Maybe the reason things are not working is because it's just not written in your script. Maybe you aren't supposed to get well. Maybe you're supposed to go through this suffering and changes and all these different things that are such a pain in the butt. So, you know, maybe that's the way it is. And maybe you have a lesson that you've got to learn from other things that have happened, maybe in this lifetime, maybe in previous lifetimes. So now let's go over some of the basics of how our suit functions, according to the medical thought of the last 200 years or so anyway. By examining anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and biology, we think we know just how it all works, or at least we did. Now that quantum physics is being revealed, what we thought we knew is being blown apart. But back to the standard thought of body functions. We'll talk about quantum physics a little bit later. So in the old method, and by old, I'm referring to the last 200 years. Anatomy refers to the structure of the human body, as well as to the taking apart of the pieces by dissection for the purpose of studying them. And dissection just involves cutting in and removing things and, you know, getting down to the bottom of how the structure is. For our purposes, consider that humans, for the most part, look and dissect pretty much the same. While there are anomalies or differences from person to person, or in cultures removed from genetic diffusion, we are all structured similarly. And I'm here to tell you that's true. I've seen plenty of bodies cut open, not just in a cadaver lab, but because I started out as an ER and ICU nurse. So I've seen the insides of many people, and I have had my hands in some places you probably wouldn't want to have your hands. And through the years, there have been instances of many differences. For instance, blood differences, such that blood transfusions that should have been safe were not. And here I'm referencing a problem between a person from the USA being given a transfusion of blood in Siberia only to find that it had disastrous results due to evolutionary differences in that isolated community. So they had not kind of moved along with the rest of the evolutionary process. They were so far isolated. So that was a distinct problem, and as I recall, I think this was about 30 or 40 years ago, it was written up in several journals as well as in, you know, layperson's journal, the Reader's Digest. And it was quite interesting. We don't normally think the blood is going to be that different, but it can be. That's just one instance. Now, most of our differences come from genetics, from blood or enzyme system changes, not the structure. We'll get into that more later, but perhaps this would be a good time to note that we are all the same color under the skin and the same structure. And if you're listening to this and you're racially prejudiced, grow up. Wake up and get out from under the mushroom of ignorance you've been hiding under. Evolutionary changes happen to help us adapt to our environment. There is no superior race, okay? Get that out of your heads. We are all human. We're all alike under the skin. You know, it'd be kind of ridiculous to say that one type of cat or dog was better because they were a different color, and yet we do the same thing to humans, and then we wonder why we have problems. It's an illogical stance to take. But this is not a political show, and I am not known for being politically correct, so let's get on with it. Physiology refers to the study of life in plants and animals for the purpose of learning. Physiology is about the working of all the parts and their relationship to each other as well as the rest of life. So when you're studying physiology, you want to know exactly how things work. It's kind of more of an engineering look. So So when we think of physiological processes in the body, we consider our nervous system and processes it causes to occur, as well as the movement of body parts. For instance, the electrical conductivity of the muscles of the heart, which, by the way, beat on their own independently until joined with others of their kind, and then they beat in unison. This is a pretty interesting little thing that happens, and if you're not familiar with it, you might want to read up on it. Cardiac muscle is very, very interesting stuff. It has its own electrical pulse, and you can have little sections of cells, in different petri dishes, and they'll be beating along just fine, all at different rates, until you put them together, and then they start to beat as one, which is another miracle of life. The heart can be affected by emotional distress or fear, as well as by relaxation therapies. And if you've ever had high blood pressure and been told to learn biofeedback, then you know that. Also, if you start to get very upset with someone and then your blood pressure goes through the roof, there's your proof there too. So that's physiology. And then how about dim bones? How many times have you heard someone with arthritis talk about how they can feel a storm coming in their bones? That's a good example of interaction with the environment. Take the example of animals acting crazy right before earthquakes and other disasters. Are they really only reacting to barometric pressure changes or to something more? I have a cat who's terrified of storms. She turns and hides long before any clouds appear. As soon as I see her slinking into the darkest corner of the house, I close the windows and get ready for the storm. What is in the physiology of living organisms that informs them of changes in the environment? Some people say it's barometric pressure. Some people say it's change in the magnetic field. Some people say it's telepathy. Maybe it's everything. And maybe some organisms are just more finely tuned to that. They feel it within themselves and they get out. Most of us know people who disappear before the first hint of trouble, thereby avoiding riots and accidents. Now, what is so different in their physiology that allows that early warning signal? I've had that in my own life. I've had many people say, I don't know how you do it, but you disappear just like smoke at the first hint of trouble, before it even happens. And I've always said I have excellent timing. A lot of us have that if we just allow it to happen, if we just allow that to really flow. And I think a lot of that has to do with your intuition, too. Biochemistry refers to the chemical processes in a biological organism. In essence, we have chemical factories in our bodies, and we are organic machines. When we look at all the chemical processes involved in running the human body, it is truly amazing. Have you ever looked at that? Have you ever wondered how all those little parts work together? The simple process of eating has so many chemical pathways, it's dizzying. When you start to understand how interrelated all of these processes are and how dependent they are on having just the right chemicals available, it's a wonder any of us makes it through the day. If you ever have the inkling to look at chemical processes, there's a really nice chart put out by Sigma Chemicals, and they have all of the processes of the body listed on there and how they're interrelated and all of the different intermediary steps. They have the vitamins and minerals that are necessary listed. It's quite fascinating just to look at it. Now, many of the diseases that humankind is subject to have to do with genetic dysfunctions. These result in missing or improper biochemical pathways. In some cases, the required chemical output can be provided for by taking a supplement, sometimes by that as well as not eating certain foods, so the chemical intermediary doesn't pile up and clog the system. And there are several instances of that. PKU is one of the things, phenylketonuria. And babies are checked for that in the U.S. within 3 days of being born. One of the things that happens with that is that they are unable to process a certain protein. And because of that, it can cause mental retardation and death. So a lot of kids used to die of that in the old days until people found this out. So now we just don't give them that particular protein, and we give them what the intermediary would have been after that. So that's the kind of thing that you want to look at and see what's really going on. Is it something that's biochemical? There are so many people that are suffering with their children. They don't understand what happened. Why is this kid suddenly no longer able to survive? Why is the kid not thriving? What's actually happening? A lot of times it's that biochemical pathway that's causing the problem. So there have been many instances of children who were really bad behavior problems, and they were able to help the child by seeing what chemical pathway had broken down. Now, for most of the people, for Mr. and Mrs. Joe Blow down the street, that's going to be very difficult to handle because you're talking about thousands of dollars in biochemical testing. So we've got to find a better way for doing that. But for the major diseases that we know about, those are pretty much well checked by the medical system. Now, physicians who understand the biochemistry of the body will normally not prescribe certain types of medications to be taken all at the same time. Sadly, many do not understand biochemistry. Think of whatever you put in your mouth as an ingredient going into your next batch of chemical soup. Would you want things in there that are actively working against each other? I don't think so. How about things that are forming new, heretofore unknown compounds? Again, no. We usually hear about bad combinations of substances when someone dies and the pathologist is able to figure out what went wrong. I don't know about you, but I prefer not to gamble that way. And I can tell you when I worked in the hospital, there were several doctors, mostly from foreign countries, who would never allow all of the medications to be given together, and it was written in their order exactly which time to give which medications, and no more than two were allowed together at the same time. And there had to be an hour or two between. Some you gave in the morning, some you gave in the evening, some you gave between meals, sometimes with meals. And if someone's on 20 different medications that are given 3 to 4 times a day, that gets pretty confusing. However, those doctors had much better success with their patients because they weren't creating chemical soup. So think about that when you're putting things in your mouth. How's it going to be when it gets down in your stomach and starts working around? Now, here's another thing, a little aside. If your physician tells you that biochemistry is unimportant or a waste of time to be included in medical school, run in the opposite direction. And yes, I have actually heard so-called intelligent doctors say these words. My favorite response, though, has to be when the first thing out of their mouth when I tell them about a natural supplement is, oh, that crap doesn't work. And the second thing, I swear to you, the second thing they say is, what is that stuff? And I have encountered this so many times from supposedly intelligent people. That's the time to bring to the attention the fact that they are making a pronouncement on something they know absolutely nothing about. And I have to kind of think that it's a conditioned response that they're given in allopathic medical school. And although I have had a few osteopaths respond the same way too. And, I've gone through my own health things where I've been in the ER and talked to somebody about something and said, well, this is what's going on, and they don't believe me. And I've reversed heart attacks in people with a handful of supplements, got all the lab work to prove it, and they say that can't possibly work. And I'm looking at them and going, well, you're the one that just told me that it's a miracle and you can't figure out how it happened. I just told you how it happened. So, you know, common sense is not always rampant in the medical field. Okay, so we are biological, organic machines, as is everything considered to be living. Now, I don't want to split fine hairs here. So let's just say that the old definition is that and leave it at that. Quantum physics is showing us a whole other definition and changing what we thought we knew. Speaking of quantum physics, let's consider that for a moment since so much of what we are has to do with that. Here's the definition according to www.dictionary.com. And I went to that because I don't want to misquote this. I am not a quantum physicist, okay? I do use quantum physics in medicine because of what I've learned from a quantum physicist. So quantum physics is a noun, the branch of physics that uses quantum theory to describe and predict the properties of a physical system. Oh, that's kind of what we are, isn't it? We're a physical system. We're operating in this third dimension, which is known as a physical dimension. Then we go into quantum theory, which is also a noun. It's a theory in physics based on the principle that matter and energy have the properties of both particles and waves. This is created to explain the radiation of energy from a black body, the photoelectric effect, and the Bohr theory, and now used to account for a wide range of physical phenomena, including the existence of discrete packets of energy and matter, the uncertainty principle, and the exclusion principle. Quantum theory is also any of various specific applications of this theory. Phew, boy, that's a mouthful, huh? I don't pretend to understand all of this, so if you're listening and saying, man, I don't understand that at all, hey, I'm right with you, okay? What I understand is the concept, and I understand when things work right, you know, you kind of know in your heart when what you're listening to is the truth. And so I can read a book on quantum physics and go, yeah, of course, but don't ask me to explain it and don't ask me to understand all the little workings of it. And I believe that many of you listeners are the same way. You just haven't given yourself a chance. So that all seems like it fits into a study of the suit pretty well, doesn't it? Okay. So now that we have some basic definitions out of the way, let's go on to mention the various systems of the suit and what we can do with it. Imagine receiving your new suit, opening up the box and reaching for the instructions. Okay, so most women reach for the instructions and most men just grab the suit and put it on and go, wahoo! Remember that famous line, when all else fails, read the instructions. Here's the instructions. Functions, movement, sensory perception, which includes temperature, spatial location, touch, taste, sight, hearing, etc. Thinking, observation, communication, both with other suits and interspecies, interaction with environment, teleportation, bilocation, energy transfer, transformation of ingested, inhaled, or absorbed substances, extrasensory perception, transmogrification, and many more which you may be able to use by inputting the proper secret code. Further instructions may be downloaded when secret code is inserted. Fuel requirements. Biological organisms, plant or animal-based, must contain appropriate balance of rock and metal molecules in proper proportions and quality as needed for each suit. Individual requirements may vary widely. Estimated lifetime usage. With normal usage, approximately 75 years. Warning. Use in hazardous or depleted requirements environments may reduce usage with each occurrence. Lubricant requirements. Must be given at least 2 or more quarts of good water daily for minimal function. Requires organic fatty acids in addition to water at regular intervals. Requirements may vary with each suit, as well as due to excessive usage of suit. Movement must be practiced throughout the day and early evening, or suit may become stiff, resulting in limited range of motion and/or immobility. Cleaning. Suit must be cleansed internally several times daily. Bladder, holding compartment for fluid waste, and rectum, holding compartment for solid waste, must be discharged when full. Skin may exhibit liquid from time to time that is most noticeable during overheating, and suit should be allowed to cool at such times. Suit may also require additional water ingestion to replace lost fluids. External surfaces of suit should be cleansed with soap and water at least daily, 2 to 3 times daily in some cases. Dirt or oil should not be allowed to accumulate on external surfaces, as this may clog special discharge and vent holes in surface, thereby rendering it unable to perform ancillary cleaning functions. Periodic cleansing of systems may be required, colon, gallbladder, liver, blood, depending on use patterns. Hazards and cautions. Please keep away from open flame or explosive environments, contact with excess acid or base chemicals, radiation, pollution, electrical discharge, strong electromagnetic fields, prolonged submersion in water, prolonged low oxygen environments. Guard against cutting, stabbing, or puncture by sharp or metal objects. Please keep plastic bags away from face area. May become bruised or broken if given hard blows. This is delicate equipment which will last a lifetime if not mistreated. No refunds for abusive treatment. Special needs. This unit requires love to operate efficiently, as well as compassion, forgiveness, and challenge. Unit is sentient and capable of learning. Requires continued progression of education to function in that capacity. Warning. Excessive negative input may damage unit to the point it is no longer able to be repaired. Ignoring suit may render suit unable to function at all. CPU, central brain, requires correct input to determine logical and wise course of action. Incorrect input may lead to irreparable damage. Avoid alcohol, hallucinogenic drugs or substances, and processed foods or beverages. Guard against sudden blows to CPU carriage, as this may result in loss of data. Please note that some CPUs may be located in the derriere or other areas, depending on the model of the suit. For optimal functioning, such mislocated CPUs need to be relocated to the proper area. This may require much time and positive input to accomplish. Please have patience with this process, as all suits are worth saving. Value may be returned with proper care. Some units may be rendered speechless when confronted due to mistreatment. Self-empowerment then becomes vital to recovery. Please report mistreatment to the proper authorities so that both suits may then be repaired. Please note that each suit comes with its own special set of instructions for further care, as each is individual and special. Does this help clear up the issue of the suit? How's your suit doing? Do you need repair, or do you know another suit that needs repair? Now let's talk about what happens to the suit in everyday life. Let's take a day in the life of an average working stiff, suit. Okay, let's start off the day. 6 a.m., the alarm clock goes off, causing a startle response in the sleeping suit, releasing a flood of catecholamines. And I know that's a big word. It means things like adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, fight-or-flight response chemicals. The suit awakens with pounding heart, flailing arms in the direction of the warning buzzer, connecting with snooze buttons. Silence, blessed silence ensues. Suit may be noted to have fallen back asleep, as evidenced by loud snores. In approximately 5 minutes, warning buzzer blares again, causing another fight-or-flight response, which is quickly stopped, well, sort of, by the sleepy suit, who then presses snooze again. In 5 minutes, warning buzzer sounds again, evoking another fight-or-flight response, this time not as severe as the first. Suit groans, turns off alarm, and drags the suit out of bed, cursing and mumbling. Stumbling off to the bathroom, suit uses the toilet to relieve itself of stored waste. Some suits have also done this a few times during the night, thereby disturbing rest period. The kidneys are perfused, people, or flooded with blood, much better when you're lying down. This usually results in an increased amount of urine. So if you're one of those people having that problem, don't drink anything for several hours before you go to bed. And that'll usually take care of the problem. Unless, of course, you've got the prostate problems. Then that's another thing. 6:30 a.m., suit gets into the shower, hoping to become more awake. At least I do when I get in the shower. Hot water runs over skin, removing natural oils and causing pores to open wider. Increased temperature causes skin pores to open wider and wider and more blood to rush to the surface to cool the body. Suit stands under hot water until entire body starts to feel hot, then gets out and dries off with super absorbent towel, which soaks up any oils left. Skin mantle is now left without oils and without the slight acidic protection required. The acidic protection is about the same as vinegar. That's what's required for the first layer of protection on our skin. 6:45 a.m., male suit scrapes hairs off face. Female suit scrapes hairs off legs and underarms. Copious amounts of chemicals are applied to underarm areas to halt perspiration and odor, which closes one of the portals the suit uses to rid itself of waste. Odor occurs from bacteria, listeners, normal skin flora, and it happens because they're breaking down the proteins in the sweat. So it's a normal process. 7 a.m., female suit applies pore-closing mud, otherwise known as makeup, to face and neck, then applies colors to face, eyes, and lips. Both suits then put on clothes to cover suit. Many use petroleum-based non-breathing fibers to cover suit, and that's polyester and nylon. So pores of skin are not able to breathe. Female suit may then put on elevator shoes to increase height. Such shoes are not known for comfort or proper spinal alignment. Pelvis is then pushed forward at improper angle, causing the rest of the spine to attempt to compensate by increasing bend at lower back and decreasing curves in upper back and flattening curve in neck. 7:15 to 7:30 a.m., suit grabs a cup of coffee and donut on the way out the door and yells at any mini-suits to grab Pop-Tarts. Suit then loads self and any mini-suits into transportation box and heads out into traffic, fussing and fuming, which, by the way, results in an additional flood of catecholamines. Suit then inches forward in traffic, drops off many suits at care center, and continues to inch forward towards workstation. Aeration devices in suit, otherwise known as lungs, inhale multiple hydrocarbon compounds, as well as large amounts of carbon monoxide, which combines with hemoglobin much better than oxygen. thereby limiting the amount of oxygen cells can carry and receive. Some suits inhale additional toxic substances containing over 200 harmful chemicals. That's cigarettes. 9 a.m. Suit reaches workstation late again and hurriedly finds work cubicle. Noting fatigue, suit refills coffee cup and ingests sugar-filled substance. Rise in blood sugar and constriction of arteries results in short time of increased concentration. Suit uses this time to tackle work tasks. 10 a.m. Suit feels another wave of fatigue and brain fog as blood sugar crashes and arteries relax. Reaches for more coffee and sugar. Takes a break and complains about life to coworkers. 11 a.m. Suit feels tired and hungry. Starts watching clock for lunchtime. Suit becomes irritable and uncooperative. 12 noon. Suit goes to lunch. Looking for comfort food. Something with carbs and fat that tastes really good. And drinks a diet soda to make up for the extra calories. Now, listeners, let's make a note here. Diet food does not help one to lose or maintain weight, because the psychology of it is that you're going to eat something that you think is bad for you, and you think that you're doing okay because you are taking the diet drink. And diet drinks, if they have aspartame in them, should never be taken. It's very, very detrimental for your brain and the rest of your body. And 79% of all complaints about it, things to the FDA are aspartame. Serious stuff. We'll talk about that on another show. The suit starts to relax at lunchtime, then gets sleepy. We know this is a carbo slump, and you type O blood types, you know this one really well. Spends lunchtime complaining to coworkers. 12:30 p.m., back to work cubicle, munching on a sweet snack. Fighting sleepiness, suit tackles work harder. Adrenal glands kick in more to help stay awake. 2 p.m., suit has low back pain and neck pain from hunching over computer or desk. Goes to restroom to relieve waist and stretch legs. Grabs more coffee and a snack on the way back and visits with coworkers, everyone talking about how tired they are. 5 p.m., suit sighs and puts work away, too much to get finished. Takes some home to work on. Suit stands up, realizes how much back and neck hurt. Suit retrieves transportation device and inches back home, breathing noxious fumes and feeling frustrated. Many suits get picked up from care center and are bounding and bouncing with sugar-induced energy, giving suit a stabbing pain in the brain pan. 5:30 to 7 p.m., suit must prepare evening fuel. Sits many suits in front of intraspecies communication device, we know that as a TV, to get a few moments of blessed peace. Some suits may ingest an alcoholic beverage in hopes of relaxation. Some suits may inhale toxic, noxious fumes also. Married suits attempt connection. Some may engage in arguments due to increased stress. Fueling may include noisy, chaotic behavior. 7 to 11 p.m., suit stays busy, cleaning up after fueling, preparing mini suits for rest period, and working on leftover job tasks. 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., rest period. Frequently interrupted by need to empty bladder compartment or stress-induced worry, causing tossing and turning. Suit may ingest narcotic or alcoholic substances in attempt to increase rest period. 6 a.m., suit is startled awake and eventually rises feeling unrefreshed and fatigued, groggy and irritable, and it starts all over again. Now, if any of this sounds like your day, listeners, a change may be in order. The necessary changes may be difficult, kind of like changing gears without having the clutch all the way engaged. There may be a lot of noise and lurching and bumping going on during the change period, and you need to make sure you know where you're going. The first step is to take that first step. Start. Since you need a map to determine how to get there, and first you need to know where you are and where you're going, that first step is determining those three things. So how do we do that? Let's start with clarifying your life. Clarity brings a lot of peace, you know. So what do you like about your life? What do you want to continue? What don't you like about? What do you want to change? What must you change before it makes you sick or kills you? If you're feeling trapped, you need to make a change. Like, hello? Wake up! Unless you are currently in prison, there's nothing that can't be changed somehow. Heck, even if you are in prison, you can still choose to change yourself for the better. It's choice. Remember all the prisoners who got university degrees while incarcerated? Hey, if nothing else, you can write a book about your experiences. If you're not talented that way, you can get someone who is to ghostwrite it for you. There's always possibilities. There's always solutions for everything. You just have to first clarify what it is that you want. At this point, the naysayers will say, what about people who are physically handicapped? How can they change that? Now, admittedly, that is quite a challenge. Just remember the miracles and believe, then do everything in your power to make it happen. If that's just not possible for you, then let me tell you of an inspiring man I once met. When I was home health nursing, I went into people's homes and did their IVs and did their wound care and teaching and things like that. So there I was. I met Clarence. Clarence was bedbound and blind, totally bedbound. He could hardly move his head and was unable to move anything else. He couldn't see, but he could hear and speak. He lived with his family who cared for all of his needs as well as they could. He had home health nurses and physical therapists who came in to attend to his medical needs on a regular basis. Now, Clarence spent a good part of every day just praying for the children of the world. He prayed with his heart, sincerely. His spirit was shining and beautiful. Once, in a period of depression, he told me he felt useless and wanted to just die and get it over with. Now, I don't know about you, but I was pretty shocked when he told me that. Here's this guy who's a shining example of making the best out of your life or making lemonade out of lemons. I was shocked. I had to point out to him that what he did every day was so much more important than what many healthy people spent their time doing. By the time I left, he was no longer depressed and was back to praying for the children. So you see, even a severely injured suit can be useful. We all have a purpose. So what's going on with your suit? Do you think you have a defective one? What does your suit help you to do in life? Would you have accomplished so much if you had a perfect suit? All I'm saying is we get what we most need in order to do the job we agreed to do. That does not mean the suit can't be improved. Most times it can. Or maybe you were given a perfect suit and did a lot of things to destroy its perfection, like smoking, drinking alcohol, doing drugs, eating junk food, engaging in risky behaviors, etc. Don't despair. If you truly desire change, it can happen. What you most need in order to change and improve your suit is information about the workings of the suit, so you don't inadvertently short-circuit some of the suit functions. In the following talks that I do on this, the following shows, the basics of the workings of the suit will be laid out for your perusal. You decide how you want your suit to work. Now let's talk a little bit about more of the mind and spirit portion of this. I've talked several times in this show about how important it is to make the choice. You do have the choice. Listeners, realize that. If you get nothing else from this show, understand how you live your life is your choice. There are choices in every moment of the day. Whenever there's someone else involved, how you respond and what you allow to happen is totally your choice. So let's get out of the victim act, okay? There are no victims. There are only volunteers. And we all volunteer to do certain things. And we don't have to act like everybody else acts. So let's get back to the choice thing. How important is it to you to make sure that your life is being lived the way you want it to live and that your suit, this incredible body, this organic biological machine that you have, is doing what you want it to do? And I'm not talking about just beauty of the suit. There's plenty of people out there obsessed with the way they look, and most of that comes from fear that they will not be accepted. So to those people, if that's your consuming thing and you're spending your whole day working on being beautiful, that's okay if you're a model. You know, your livelihood depends on it. But what's underneath that? And what are you going to do when the looks go? Think about that one for a minute. Now, there are some people who have never had that opportunity, who have been considered to be less than perfect or even less than average. And to you people, I say, you can improve if you want to. And if you think that's impossible, look at all the makeover shows on TV. There's plastic surgery. There's free things that you can go to. There's all kinds of things. There's always a solution to whatever you perceive your problem to be. Now, I've had several patients in my practice who have come in trying to look perfect and being very dissatisfied with who they are, to the point of removing certain portions of their anatomy that are vital, like veins. And I listen to that and I think, my God, what could make that person feel so self-conscious that they would worry about the very veins that they have? You know, our veins are there for a purpose. You know, everybody is kind of used to people wanting to have a nose job or have their eyes lifted or, you know, maybe have butt implants put in because of J-Lo. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do if you want to. But why are you doing it? Look underneath. Why are you dissatisfied with your suit? 9 times out of 10, it's because of something that happened to you in your childhood that made you feel less than you are, that destroyed your self-worth. And, you know, most of us have had, you know, some messed up things happen as we were children. Unfortunately, when you're a child, you're like a sponge. And you soak all of that up and you believe it. And then even as you become an adult and you work on yourself and you say, oh, well, I got beyond that, there's still that tape that's playing in the background of your subconscious that prevents you from going further. So we need to work on the stinking thinking part also. That is a big part of the suit, of the happy functioning of the suit and the happy functioning of your different organ systems. And if you've heard anything about the limbic system, you'll understand that that's our connection through emotions to the physiological processes of the body. This is how when you listen to a piece of music and it reminds you of a good time or a bad time that you've had, you're right back there, just bang, instantly. You're back into that particular experience. That's a limbic system connection. And they've done plenty of studies on the limbic system where they have found that even though they can't say that, okay, this is a particular structure of the limbic system or this is the pathway of the limbic system, they can say that somehow there are chemicals released that trigger memories and that affect body parts just as the first experience did. So if you've heard me talk before on holographic memory resolution or holodynamics, then you know that that's what we're tapping into. We're getting into the limbic system and we're healing those memories. With holographic memory resolution, which is trauma resolution, you're going back and you're actually accessing that point in time and changing it. With holodynamics, you're going further into the body. You're going into the holodynes, which are what we're all composed of. They're little packets of energy. Remember I talked about quantum physics? That's a quantum physics thing. They're packets of information that come from your experiences, from your beliefs, from what you've read, from what you've heard, from anything that happened to you. So we're going in and we're changing those things and getting them to cooperate in the health of the body. So now what does this all mean for you? I just gave you the basic instructions for the suit. And you may have laughed. I tried to make it a little bit humorous at least. But that's the basic stuff. We didn't get into the mind and the spirit. And you cannot be healthy without those two things connected to the suit. Okay? And one of the things that one of my spiritual teachers taught me many years ago is you can strive and strive and strive spiritually and you can attain great heights. But if you don't bring your physical body and your mind along with it, and if you don't take care of those things that need to be changed in order for you to hold the higher vibration, you'll become ill. Now, since I was told that, I've seen that happen for many, many people, and I've seen it happen in my own life. So I have to agree that that is what happens. So if you're only concentrating on one thing, if you think spiritual pursuits are the only thing, I understand. And, you know, been there, done that. But I'm here to tell you the truth is that you have to bring all of yourself along in order to make it. Otherwise, you're constantly bumping up against the glass ceiling and you can't get any farther and you start to have problems. So physical problems, for instance, can manifest when you are spiritually seeking what we call the Father or the higher self. When you contact that being, which really is a part of yourself, but when you contact that higher spiritual being, if you don't do something to get that energy moving through your body, it can actually damage your heart and your stomach. So it's very important when you feel that overwhelming love and that incredible connection, go out into nature and start digging in the garden. Do something. And that will channel some of that energy and keep it flowing through you so that you can keep what you need, but not overload the suit and blow out the circuits. What good are you going to be if you blow out your circuits? So that's kind of my little soapbox lecture for the people only pursuing the spiritual. Now, for the people who are only pursuing the mind, you do so at the risk of disconnection from your heart. The mind is not as powerful as you think it is. It is powerful, yes, but it is not all-powerful. And we are not our minds. We are way, way beyond that. So for the people who are geniuses and think that God or some divine being doesn't exist, or that all this is hoo-ha, all I can say to you is, it does exist. And that's not my opinion. That's my knowledge. Like I said, been there, done that. So the truth is that you're denying a part of who you really are. And when you deny a part of who you are and disconnect from that, then you really have no hope. And I have seen more geniuses who are really miserable SOBs. And it's because they have no heart connection and they raise their families like that. I've seen the destruction of it. And if you would connect your heart, you would be a far greater genius, because then you're able to tap into the intuitive plane also. And the heart is kind of the mediator. You know, and by heart, I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about your etheric heart. I'm talking about the heart chakra. I'm talking about the love that is what we all are. And if you try to deny that, you're going to face nothing but disaster. So the happiest geniuses that I've seen are the ones that learned how to connect the heart and to be able to stand in the bliss, in the reality. You know, if you think your mind's the only reality, oh boy, so you have a lesson coming. And I have to laugh because my late husband was a genius who was totally disconnected from heart. And I got him connected back up, and then he got to experience true bliss. So it's not hoo-ha, guys, okay? It's really real. And this show is about the real. It's about the truth. And if you don't like that, well, that's okay. You know, it's your opinion, and you don't have to listen if you don't want to. But if you're listening to this show, you're going to get the truth. Not just my truth, but the truth. Now let's talk a little bit about the physical. For the people who are only pursuing beautification of the physical body, then you're letting other things go. You're letting your mind go. You're letting your spirit go. And one of the biggest secrets that people don't understand is that if your spirit is shining and beautiful and your heart is open and loving, you will automatically be beautiful. People will see the beauty in you. So if you are one of those who has been born deformed or handicapped in some way, or if you have some kind of accident, disfiguring accident or something like that that's happened, please be of good cheer. Have hope. Because when you open your heart and you really connect with all that you are, people will only see your beauty. They will see beyond what that surface is. And I guarantee that. I've seen it so many times. And when you are standing in the presence of someone who has true inner beauty, it's blinding. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. So I suggest that that's what we should all be doing, is opening our hearts to that extent and hooking up all of the parts of ourselves. The physical body is like a car, people. It's just like a car. Our spirit resides in it and uses it to move around in what we call the third dimension. And just like a car, it can get banged up and broken and have problems. And we fix it as much as we can. You know, our auto shop is the hospital. But there comes a time when the body can no longer be fixed. And at that point, you have two choices. You can have miracles, which do happen all the time. I've had miracles happen in my practice. Or you get rid of the body and your spirit goes on. And the truth is, we do live on. We live on in that spiritual dimension, in the truth of who we are, which is so beautiful. If everyone could see that, if there was some way I could help you to see that right now, it would change your life forever. And you would no longer be dealing in ignorance. You would no longer have the prejudices that exist on this planet. You would no longer rail against your life and the misfortunes that you've had. You would look forward to every moment of every day as a great game, which it is. We're in the game, people. And the suit is our game piece. We're allowed to move about and play in this game because we have a suit. And there's plenty of spiritual beings out there that would love to have a suit and get into this game. It's the greatest game in the universe. We're going through a great transition period right now. And many of you who listen on this station know that. You've listened to the other shows. You realize that we're in for a big shift in consciousness, as well as possibly the entire Earth. And, you know, many of us are not looking forward to having catastrophic shifting going on. However, the truth of the matter is, it is what it is. And we're here to do a job. So now, how are you going to do your job unless your suit is functioning? Because that's what you're moving around in. And what is your job? What is your mission? Now, I've had a lot of people tell me, oh, well, my mission is to raise kids. And, you know, that's not your mission. That's something you're doing for yourself. And maybe an agreement you had with other spirits when you came in. But that's not your mission. Your mission is so much more all-encompassing. Your mission involves the entire world. What did you bring? And what is your suit capable of doing? Why are you here? And then what is your gift? We all have a gift, too. And let me give you an example out of my own life. I was an artist. I hurt my back a long time ago and couldn't move, couldn't sit up, was in terrible pain a lot of time. And so I went into doing art and doing things I could do standing up because my back didn't hurt me when I stood up. And at that point, I had a full-fledged business, art business. I had 11 apprentices. The Metropolitan Museum in New York was sending me clients. I had all kinds of successful things going on with the business. And yet I would go to exhibiting galleries, and I'd be in the top galleries in town. People would screech on their brakes when they saw my stuff hanging in the window and would come running in to look at my stuff and then go buy somebody else's. Now, that really angered me and frustrated me for a while. And then I was meditating about it one day, and I said, what is the deal with this? You know, why is this happening? And then all of a sudden, it came to me, that is not my job. That is my gift. So when I realized that, I stopped doing the artwork as a business and pulled away from it and went back into health. And since I've done that, I've been way happier. You know, now I know what my mission is. And part of my mission is getting the truth out there to you. And being open enough to talk to the people who have portions of the truth that we all need to be healthy and happy. That's the premise of the whole show. It's all about truth and medicine, no matter who doesn't like it. And it's about getting you the information that you need in order to be the best that you can possibly be, to help you in your mission, as well as to help you to distribute your gift. So what is your job? What's your mission? What's your gift? And if you're doing something that you hate, why are you doing that? If it's your mission, you're not going to hate doing it. You're going to love it. And if you say, well, you know, I have to put food on the table, I have to do this and that, I understand that. You know, change is not easy. But the only way that you're going to be happy and not waste your life is if you go do what you were meant to do. Now, sometimes we're in a job because it's going to connect us with somebody else or something else that we need in order to become who we really are, in order to accomplish our mission. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Just understand, with whatever you're doing, it needs to be something that resonates with you. If it does not resonate within, then why are you there? You know, people get caught in these traps. And, you know, they think, well, you know, kids and family and house and animals and, you know, PTA meetings and all this stuff. What's really important? Get to what's important in your life. Get to your mission. Get to your gift. You didn't come here to be selfish. You came here to help the rest of humanity, to help the planet, and some to help the other species on the planet. So what is it? What is your suit best suited for? Remember the example of Clarence, who was bedbound? People would have thought he was useless. That man was not useless. That was one of the most beautiful shining spirits I've ever met. He used his suit, as defective as we would think it was, he used his suit to bring good positive change in the world, to support the children from a dimension that most people don't even understand. And for those of you who say, oh, this is a bunch of hoo-ha, and that can't be, and I don't believe in that. That's okay. It's a choice. You do what you want. And when you've gotten done with being stubborn and denying what's real, I'll be here. And I'll still be talking about what's real and what's true and what's important. And the most important thing in your life is you and what you came to do. The most important thing is your connection to all that is. Whether you want to call that God or Source or First Creator or Great Mystery, Great Spirit, I've always said God doesn't care what you call it. It only cares that you call it. And you don't have to have an organized prayer to do this. All you have to have is the reality of who you are and the sincerity from your heart. It doesn't have to be fancy, people. It just has to be real. And I can tell you that the power of prayer is real indeed. I've seen miracles happen so many times that it becomes commonplace for me. And why is that? Why do I have miracles in my life and other people don't? I would say to you that it's not that other people don't have miracles, it's just that they don't notice them. And it's just that they are not grateful for them. And that's another thing. Gratitude is the biggest thing that you can do. If you are grateful for everything that is good in your life, and yes, even for the bad things that teach you what you need, then your life becomes magical. Life becomes a path. Life becomes the path that you chose. Now, a lot of people say, I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose to be born into this life. This is rotten. Well, yes, you did choose that. So, if you're thinking you didn't choose it, you got a little enlightenment coming. You did certainly choose it. So, for those of you who are thinking that, please wake up. Please go to the only source that really knows, and that's inside of you. And it's not coming from your brain. It's not coming from what other people told you. It's coming from within your heart. So go sit down face to face with your heart and ask your heart, what's going on? What is my life about? Did I truly choose this? And when you find out yes, then go ahead and be grateful for it and discover what it is that you came to do. And when you've done that, you'll be happy. So I hope that this has helped. Part one, instructions for the suit. You've been listening to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted. And I thank you so much for tuning in and for listening. And I hope that you'll come back next week when we continue with instructions for the suit, part two. Thanks again, and have a great life.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.